Get your Bible out. We're going to get into the Word of God.
Praise you, Jesus.
Make confession over our Bibles this morning. Why don't we do that? Grab hold of your Bible. Anybody got you one? Praise God. If you don't have one, you can get one.
Praise you, Jesus.
Say, this is my Bible.
This is my Bible.
It's God's Word to me.
God's Word to me.
And I believe all of it. From Genesis to maps. And I'll receive absolutely everything God has for me today. In the name of Jesus. All right, be excited. Praise God. Glory. Turn to Mark chapter 12. Gospel of Mark chapter 12. The direction that we're going as a church is to love God, love people, invest in others. Comes from this verse, these verses. Verse 29, I didn't tell you which verse, did I? Mark 12, 29. Jesus answered him, "The first of all commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like it, is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these." So we want to focus this morning on the love of God. And what I want to focus on is loving God. He loves us. We should love him. Because I was thinking about it, the love God, love people, invest in others. And I was thinking, do we know how to love God? And then as I thought about that, I thought, well, the Bible gives us some instruction on how to love God. I'm not sure that people in general know how to love anybody. Love has become, sometimes in some people's mind, just a physical act. It's become, well, actually, I think what some people think is love is really lust, because love is for the other person, not about me, it's about them. And I was thinking about this morning, or the last couple of days, the love languages. I was looking at that up this morning. If you heard love languages, different ways that you can love people in the way that we receive love, words of affirmation is one way to receive love, acts of service, receiving gifts, quality time, physical touch. And actually, those are ways that we can love God. And I think some of those will come out in some of the scripture we're going to read today. But to give him praise, to reach out to him. He deserves to be loved, but that's really not what it's about. It's about focus, I suppose, as much as anything. Thinking about him. All of us, particularly the farther time goes on, the more it seems to speed up and the more distracting it can be. In the midst of all that, love God. Amen? It takes some focus to do that. And here it says to love God, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with your soul. We've been learning about heart, the combination of spirit and soul. And then your soul, the mind, will, and emotions. And then it specifies with all your mind, which I was looking that up in the original language, means the faculty of thinking, the faculty of moral reflection, and also imagination. Love God. We all use our imagination for different things. We'll use it for loving God. And then with all your strength, which according to Strong says, all your ability or force or might. And then Vine's another Greek dictionary, and it describes the full extent of the power wherewith we are to love God. So what that sounds like is put yourself into it. Make an effort. Amen? Not just, well, if it happens, it happens, but yeah. something we purpose to do. And the thing about love is, it's, as I was trying to say before, it's different than most human beings understand. In fact, even most of us growing up in church, I remember thinking it was clear right away we're supposed to love each other. And I was thinking, in a lot of cases, of people that I could not picture myself working up a gushy feeling towards them, because that's what I thought love was. I've got to feel this emotion. But that's not what love is at all. In fact, love is a person. Love is God. God is love. And it begins with a decision. You just decide, because it's the right thing to do, because it's in us to love. It's more than just saying, "I love you." When you have a relationship with somebody, and you know, you should say, "I love you." But if that's all you do, and there's nothing else to affirm that, it doesn't mean much after a while, does it? And it needs to be more than, as far as us to God's concerned, it needs to be more than just appreciating what he's done for us. We should appreciate what he's done for us. But I believe there's more to it than that, too. It's not just an emotional response. Thank God for the times when our emotions are stirred up, and you know, you can see Elaine's excited and her emotion, and should be, praise God, when things like that kind of thing happen. Thank God for the times when we read the Bible and it stirs us to the inside and we really get emotional about it. But it's, you know, maybe even more important are all the other times when our emotions aren't stirred and we're still excited about what we need to be excited about. So, well, let's look at some scripture and it'll give us some indications on ways that we should love God. Let's go first to Romans chapter 5. I'm going to give you a bunch of scripture this morning. Romans chapter 5, verse 5. I'll get that. Now, hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Love of God has been poured out in our hearts, shed abroad in our hearts, another translation says. I think that's the original King James. So, here's the thing. We can love because we're loved. We can love because there is a capacity in us to love. Praise God. For us, it would be a lie, as a Christian particularly, to say, "I can't love so-and-so." Because we can. Well, we can because the capacity to love is on the inside of it. It's shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. When we say we can't, we're thinking that we can't, we've gotten into the carnal mind, the mind outside of God, the thinking outside of God. But the capacity is there. Even when we've been mistreated and everything else, there's still a capacity to love. Go back to the Gospel of John, chapter 14. John 14, verse 15. This is how the Amplified Version says, if you really love me, Jesus said, you will keep and obey my commandments. How do we love God? I mean, loving Jesus, loving God, three persons, three different natures divine in one person. Three persons in one nature, praise God. When you love Jesus, you love God. Although I say that, I think there was a lady who used to come here, and I was trying to counsel with her one day, and she said, she's mad at God, basically. I mean, it's good that she's willing to admit that, because if that's where you are, that's the beginning of being healed. But she was mad at God because she didn't feel like he came through in different situations of life when she needed him to. She said, I said, well, what about Jesus? Well, I love Jesus. It's God. Jesus died for me. That's good. I like that. But God doesn't come through. Well, I was never really able to help her much. You know, sometimes you just have to be willing to change the way that you're thinking about things. What does repent mean? Change your mind. So, you know, sometimes it comes down to that. Anyway, if you really love me, you will keep and obey my commandments. Now, it's not the word that's used here, but the word, the New Testament word for obey. It's an interesting connotation to it. To listen attentively, to heed or conform to a command or authority. And it's said of a person who you hear a knock at the door and you go to answer the door with the thought in mind as you answer it, I'm gonna listen to whatever this person at the door says, and I'm gonna do what they said. See, the idea of obey as the idea of listen, first of all, and then to hearken to or to do what you're hearing. And it pleases God, apparently, to do what he says. Imagine that. I think I've read somewhere that doctors, one of their biggest frustrations is when the patients won't do what they're asking them to do. Of course, the doctors are good, but sometimes limited in even their understanding of what's going on. But God is not. One of the things about God is that there's those omni words, you know, omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient. He knows everything. He knows everything. So maybe we ought to pay attention to when he says something, this would be the thing to do. And it pleases him when we do that. Now what we're trying to get away from, and the way that we put this into the right place in our life is, it's not about the heaviness of, what was the other word that's used in Matthew 11? The heaviness and the burden of religious rites and religious obedience. It's that Jesus said, come to me and I'll get you free from that. Amen?
Amen.
So it's not, when we talk about being obedient is a way to love God. It's not about doing it from that perspective. And you think, well, what's the difference between the two? Well, the difference is when I feel like I have to obey because it's the only way I'm going to get healed, it's the only way I'm going to get anything from God, the only way he's going to be there for me is if I dot all my I's, cross all my T's, and then we begin to think, well, boy, I need something from God, but I haven't been dotting all my I's and crossing all my T's, so I'm in big trouble, I need help, and he's going to be upset with me. And really, it's the way we've thought a lot of times in situations. That would be the religious way of looking at it. But the correct way of looking at it is, Father, I love you. I want to please you. I want to do what's right in your eyes. It's good for me when I do that. I realize that, but I also want to do it because I love you. And love God that way. Obey God because we love him. Go to 1 John. Little John. One of the little Johns in the back, 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 and 8. We used to sing this chorus, Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. Everyone that loves is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Let me read through that a little slower so you see what's being said here. Beloved, let us love one another. If you notice this, and I'm going to skip down after these two verses, go down to verse 11 and 12, and you notice how many times it says, love one another. In fact, if you haven't underlined that, it might be good to underline that and remind yourself, Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Everyone who's born again and loves knows God. Can I put it that way? Because notice verse 8, he who does not love does not know God, for God is love. So you could say this, you can be born again and not really know God because one of the indications that we know God is that we love. When you know God, you love. We love one another. When we're not loving one another, we're not really knowing God because we're, you know, was Ephesians 5:1 says that we should be imitators of God as dear children. When you know your Heavenly Father, you are like your Heavenly Father. And so you just love just is something that you do. You don't have to think a lot about it. You just love. And one of the ways that we love God is that we love one another. One of the love languages is touch. I was saying to Diana, I'm not sure how you do that with God. Well, the way that you do that with God is you reach out and touch other people and you love them. And when you're loving them, you're loving God. I would think particularly when they're not very lovable. Skip down to verse 11. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love has been perfected in us. And then it goes on to say farther down, and perfect love does what? Cast out fear. Praise God. So that's a good thing to be doing. And this is participating in the kingdom of God. We love God. We obey God because we love him. And we reach out to other people and love them. And that's how we love God. I guess you could think about it, if you want to think about it from the negative side, if we don't love other people, we're really not loving God. Another place in the Bible, in the New Testament, it says if you say that you love God and you don't love your brother, you're lying. So, pretty straightforward. Go back to the Gospel of John again, chapter 21. Verse 15. Now, Jesus is raised from the dead, sitting with his disciples. And this is when they, you know, they cast out the line and got some fish. And he's sitting on the shore, made a little fire there and said, come and dine, let's eat together. Interesting that Peter says at this point in time, before that, Peter says, I'm going to go back fishing. He was missing the point, because that when you have an experience in God, I mean, you can go back to the work that you used to do, but you don't want to go back to your life as it was. When you have a change in your life, don't let yourself fall back and go back to where you were. Peter's going back. I'm going back fishing. Well, that wasn't what God called him to do. So Jesus is going to get some things straightened out in his life. So it says in verse 15, so when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? And he said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Now, what's going on here? And you've heard me talk about this before if you've been around. There's more going on here than just love and love. There are different words being used. There are at least three words in the Bible, in the New Testament, that are used for love. And there's actually some other Greek words that aren't even used in the New Testament. But it would be good if the English language had some different words for love too, because I might say I love peanut butter and I love my wife, and I better mean something different between the two of those. There are degrees of love and so on, and we need to understand. So in the New Testament, you know, the word we're most familiar with is agape. Probably not how you pronounce it, but you understand what I'm saying. Agape is the God kind of love. It didn't mean that in the original classic Greek, but God said, this is the word I'm going to use, and he made it this word, and this is what it means. And the God kind of love is not based upon how you're feeling at the time. It's not based upon really even what the person's doing. It's just, I love you. I'm reaching out to you. It's how husbands should love wives, and wives should love husbands, and basically, it's how we should love each other, and certainly how we should love God. It's not a feelings-based thing. It's not a gushy feeling. It's not a things going well, so I'm going to love you. It's just, I love you. I have chosen to love you, and there's nothing you can do to change it. I love you on the good days. I love you on the bad days. I love you. Amen. That's how God loves us. Thank God. And that's how we're supposed to love each other. And that's how we should love him. Because, you know, be honest, you've had times, and I've had times, I felt like God didn't come through. I felt like, you know, I was in the right place. I felt like I was dotting all the I's across and all the T's, and it still didn't work out the way that I thought it should. And I had to admit to God, I'm at, like, you know, like he's just finding out. For my sake, I have to admit, I was upset with you. Surprise! And that's the beginning of being healed, to come to that place. But here's what's being said here, and this I hope I can help you follow this through. Jesus said to Peter, "Do you love me, agape?" And Peter said, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And he used the word phileo. We get Philadelphia, brotherly love. Phileo has more the idea of I'm fond of you. I love you when everything's going well, when things are pleasing. When you're pleasing me, I love you. I love you. Jesus said, "Do you agape?" Peter said, "I phileo." Okay? We'll read on. He said to him, "Feed my lambs." See, in other words, if the love acts, it does something. He said to him again, Jesus said to him the second time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Agape." He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Phileo. Do you love me? I'm fond of you." Basically, we'll think about it like that, okay? He said to him, "Then tend my sheep." Feed, tend, you know, minister to other people. Remember what our three parts are? Love God, love people, invest in others. Really, this is the invest in others part. Do something for them. Verse 17. He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" Now, Jesus changes the word, and he said, "Do you phileo? Are you fond of me?" So you can see why Peter reacts the way that he does. Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me, phileo?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you, phileo." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." Brings more out of when you understand that there's different words being used there, doesn't it? All right, if you're even fond of me, you ought to be. God is saying, can we look at it that way? If you're even fond of me, if you're even loving me on the good days, shouldn't you be doing something for other people? Shouldn't you be ministering to others? Shouldn't we all look at ourselves as ministers in some way or another? Isn't that what it's about? I mean, if it's all about just me getting born again and me getting what I need, might as well get born again and go to heaven now. Why stay? What's the business of being here? But we're here for each other. We're here to minister. We're here to bring other people in the kingdom. We're here to be here for each other. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Love God by obeying him. Love God by loving others. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16. Some of these real short verses have a lot to say. "Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." I think there are different things here that are being said that are part of lots of things, but they certainly can be part of loving God. Rejoice always. I don't know that it's loving God when we're despondent. I doubt it's loving God if we're depressed. Now here's what the word rejoice means. It's interesting out of Strong's. It says, "Be cheerful, that is calmly happy or well off." I like the two words, calmly happy. There's a lot of times in life that I haven't been calmly happy. I had a bring myself down and get back to calm again to be happy. When we lose the calm, we lose the happy, I think. Isn't that the way it goes? Yeah. Excuse me? 16, 17, 18. Is that it? The right one? Okay. So rejoice always. This is the difficult part. There's sometimes rejoicing is just a natural thing. Praise God. Woo. Swinging from the chandeliers. And other times, shoo, rejoicing is going to be a difficult thing. But when we love God, this is part of what we do. And you know what? It's good for us too. Now, pray without ceasing. I think Diane talked about this recently also. How can you do that? You can't do that unless you understand that prayer is more than the time that we actually get down on our knees or, you know, take time away or whatever. You can't. Obviously, we've got to work and eat and sleep and those other things. So how in the world we pray without ceasing? I was reading one of the study Bibles, and it says this. The Greek word here rendered without ceasing is used in secular literature to denote a man suffering from an intermittent cough. Think about that. Some of us have been through that recently. One that is not continuous but occurs at intervals. Just as this individual has the tendency to cough, though he does not always do so audibly, so the believer ought to remain in the attitude of prayer, though not always praying audibly. It's about an attitude. I'm trying to get myself to think, to remember. I was talking about the omnis of God, omnipotent, omniscient, and omnipresent. He's everywhere present. He's always present. He says in Hebrews 13, it says, God said, I'll never leave you. I won't leave you. I won't do it. I won't do it. I won't do it. He's always there. So when you think about it from that standpoint, and prayer is more than just, I need this, I need that, I need the other thing, and it's more than just, thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord, and it's more than, it's just communication with God, and just when you think and you remember he's there, and you're just going through life, and you talk to him. Wow. Did you see that, Lord? When you recognize he's right there and you need help, you can say, like, help. You know, we've especially in the charismatic circles, have implied somehow that, boy, you got to grit your teeth and really just bring God down from heaven and storm heaven, you know, storm heaven, got to pray through. And I'm sure that there are times we should be spending some really pressing time in prayer and intercession and so on, but praying without ceasing is just knowing he's there and just talking to him like he's there. I mean, you know, don't scare the people around you, but, you know, you don't have to be demonstrative about it or stupid about it. But I wonder sometimes when we're driving us in the car somewhere, and you pull up at a stoplight and the person beside you is talking, I'm hoping that they're praying. Probably not. It might not be, but, you know, just talk to God. Thank God for the times we need the times when everything else is out of the way, and that's all we're doing is just talking to God. But pray without ceasing because you love him. Because anybody that you love, you're going to want to spend some time conversing with. One of the biggest ways to keep a relationship going is communication. When you don't communicate, you lose the relationship. You fall farther away instead of coming closer together. If you love God, talk to him. I saw a cartoon. It was the Apostle Paul's mom supposedly talking to him. And she said, you have time to write to the Colossians, you have time to write to the Galatians, you have time to write to Philippians. I don't ever hear from you. No communication. No, we need communication with God because we love him. Pray without ceasing. And then it says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. In everything give thanks. An attitude of gratitude is another way to love God. Amen. And notice it says that in everything, not for everything. There used to be a teaching going around, if you got a cold, thank God for the cold. No, thank God in the cold, but not for the cold, because it didn't come from him. You thank God for everything that came from him. And I understand that, you know, some of the things that have been shared, because it's that attempt to keep an attitude of gratitude, but let's thank him for what he has done. Let's appreciate what he has done. Go over to Ephesians chapter 5. Verse 18. Ephesians 5:18, and do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God, the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of the Lord, giving thanks to all things. Thank you, thanks for all things to God. Thanks for all things to God, or the indication again is all things that come from him, give thanks for. So the important part is an attitude of gratitude. Appreciation. Appreciate, you know, sometimes we're so focused on the things that didn't quite go right. What about all the things that did? What about the thing that didn't break down? What about the relationships that are still good? What about all the good things that are going on around us? It's unfortunately too easy to become negative and focused on what's not working. And when you have an attitude of gratitude, it seems like things work better anyway. So praise God. A few more scriptures here. Hebrews chapter 11. Verse 6. Hebrews 11 is called the faith chapter of the Bible. By faith this, by faith that. And we're given some specific instruction in verse 6. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. Can't please God without faith. Can't please God unless you trust him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. You want to love God? Trust him. It's hard to have a relationship with somebody that you don't trust. You know, we say, as far as people are concerned, love people, forgive people. You have a right to and a responsibility to make them earn trust when they've broken trust. But God has never broken trust. He doesn't have to earn our trust. Nothing else he has to do. He sent Jesus to die for us. That's big enough, praise God. You didn't have to earn anything, so trust him. Now, one more scripture. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 3. Verse 5. Probably familiar with this. Proverbs 3:5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he'll direct your paths. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. and we're having trouble trusting in an area, it's because we need some heart work. We need some change of heart. We need to allow the Lord to work in our heart. In chapter 4, it talks about guarding your heart with all diligence, because out of it flow the issues of life. Trust. Trust means to be secure, to be confident. Again, you know, the times when it seems like God didn't come through, and so we begin to make the choices of our life based upon that. But He's always faithful. One of the things that hope, it says about hope in New Testament, is hold fast the confession of your hope without wavering, because He's faithful, the promised. And confident, this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And since we know that He hears us, we know that we have petitions granted to us. Trust. I know that this is something I'm still working on after teaching on faith and all these years, and find myself not trusting in areas. And sometimes I'm learning to just say, Lord, I'm just going to trust You. I'm just going to trust You. And I want to know, my brain wants to know how we're going to work this out, but I'm going to just trust Him. My question, my temperament, like Diane was talking about, is how? And sometimes you don't get to know how, you just trust. Amen? So what do we say? Listening and obeying. Loving others. Continually communicating with God. An attitude of gratitude. Trusting Him. I'm sure there's lots of other ways too. He deserves to be loved. And our lives are better when we recognize that we are loved, and therefore we can love, and we love God with all our heart and trust Him. Praise God. Let's worship.